Hey everyone, and welcome back. Today we're diving into something kind of unique, a book review actually, but it's kind of a deep dive within a deep dive. We're going to be looking at Antigone's Sisters. It's a book by Slovenian philosopher and scholar Lennart Akoff, and we're looking at it through the lens of Austrian humanist and atheist blogger Clemens Lynchinger.
Yeah, it's a fascinating juxtaposition, to be honest. You've got an atheist reviewing a work that's really steeped in religious and mythological imagery. It's like looking at a stained glass window through a prism, I guess.
Okay, so for those who aren't familiar with Antigone's Sisters, can you set the stage for us a little bit? Like, what is this book really about at its core?
Well, at its core, Antigone's Sisters is grappling with this idea, this concept of a new theology of love. And this is something that Akoff, this book, is part of a larger project for him. It's a trilogy, actually, that delves into ethics and even cosmology, the study of the universe's origin and development.
Wow, heady stuff.
It is pretty heady stuff.
And he's exploring this through some pretty powerful female figures, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Akoff uses figures like Antigone's sisters, obviously, but also Alcestis, Savitri, he even brings in this unnamed woman from Bethlehem, all to sort of explore these different concepts. And he relates these figures back to Jesus, which I think is particularly interesting, especially given, you know, the reviewer's perspective as an atheist.
Yeah, so you have these different layers of interpretation kind of happening at the same time. Now, the reviewer, Lynchinger, he mentions that Akoff's writing is rather demanding. It's not exactly a light read, is it?
No, not at all. He describes it as lyrical and dense. It requires a lot of concentration. He even says that the reader will find themselves entangled in the waves of his delicate words.
Entangled in the waves of his delicate words. So we're dealing with dense lyrical writing, but it's not just about the language, right? The reviewer, Lynchinger, he seems particularly struck by Akoff's ideas about love.
He is, and this is where it gets really fascinating, because Akoff isn't just talking about love in the romantic sense, but love as this force, this energy that connects us all. He's calling for this new theology of love and suggesting that love is really the most powerful tool that we as human beings possess to build community and to bridge divides.
Okay, so how does that translate to our lives, our everyday experiences? I mean, we all know what love is, right? Or at least we think we do. So what is Akoff's new theology all about?
Well, he's really advocating for this kind of radical rethinking of love.
Mm-hmm.
He sees it as this selfless giving, which is a stark contrast to what he calls the transactional nature of love in modern life.
Transactional.
Yeah, you know, that whole idea of like, what am I getting out of this relationship or what do I deserve? Like, we're keeping score. Akoff is challenging that whole framework.
That resonates, though. I mean, we do often think about what we're getting out of a relationship, even subconsciously.
Exactly. And Akoff would say that type of scorekeeping, it's like the antithesis of true love.
Mm.
You know, he's talking about a love that exists beyond those kinds of calculations, a love that just flows outwards without any expectation of return.
So in a world that feels like it's grappling with so much division and this constant focus on the self, it sounds like Akoff is offering up love, like radical love as the antidote.
Yeah, I think so. And what I find so fascinating is that he's drawing upon these ancient myths, religious figures, these timeless stories to illustrate his points. It's like he's tapping into something primal, something that speaks to the human condition across time and cultures.
Which I think makes the reviewer's perspective even more intriguing. How does Lynchinger, as a self-proclaimed humanist and atheist, how does he respond to all of this?
Well, that's where I think it gets even more interesting. Lynchinger actually compares Akoff to Jakob Boehme.
Ooh.
Boehme. He was a 17th century mystic. Now, Boehme was considered quite radical in his time, because he believed in experiencing the divine directly, like through intuition and feeling, rather than just relying on, you know, religious dogma or scripture.
So is he suggesting that Akoff is approaching love in a similar way, like through feeling and intuition rather than logic?
That's a good question. I mean, not a household name these days, Jakob Boehme.
Not at all. Had to look him up.
But a fascinating comparison nonetheless.
Yeah.
Because Lynchinger seems to be suggesting that, like Boehme, Akoff is tapping into this deeper well of understanding, one that kind of transcends purely rational thought.
So we're talking about accessing these deeper truths, not just through logic and reason, but through intuition and feeling. And I feel like this is where Lynchinger starts to raise some eyebrows, because he does mention this idea that the book, he says, it enriches the intellect, but doesn't necessarily lead to wisdom. What do you make of that?
That's a key distinction, isn't it? I mean, it speaks to the difference between accumulating knowledge and developing wisdom. Like you could read a book, you can understand the concepts, but wisdom implies something more. It's like an embodied understanding, right? It's that ability to actually put those concepts into practice in a way that leads to a deeper meaning, to ethical action.
So it's like reading a cookbook versus actually cooking the meal.
Precisely, yeah. And Lin Chingyi, with his humanist perspective, he seems to be grappling with whether Eckhoff's work really offers that lived wisdom. You know, he finds the ideas intellectually stimulating, but there's a part of him that remains unconvinced.
And this is where I think things get really intriguing, because Lin Chingyi points to this one line from the book. Eckhoff talks about tears, right? And he says that they are connected to ancient waters and the divine feminine. And I got to be honest, that stopped me in my tracks a little bit. What's going on there?
That quote, I think it really gets to the heart of Eckhoff's exploration of what he calls womb power.
Womb power.
Womb power. It's a very loaded term.
It is.
But essentially, he seems to be suggesting that women, by their very nature, have this different relationship to creation, to empathy, to compassion. And he ties this back to his idea of selfless love. So he's seeing this womb power as this inherent source of that giving energy.
Okay, so now we're wading into some potentially choppy waters here.
We are.
And Lin Chingyi, you know, being a humanist, he's very attuned to this. He doesn't shy away from the potentially problematic aspects of Eckhoff's ideas here, particularly when it comes to gender.
Right, because to say that women have this kind of like essential quality, this innate capacity for empathy and compassion because of this womb power, I mean, it can be a slippery slope, right? Because it risks reinforcing these very traditional gender roles and potentially even justifying this idea that women are somehow better at caregiving or nurturing.
Which can be dangerous, right? Because it essentializes gender. It's saying that this is just how women are, rather than acknowledging the very complex social and cultural factors that shape who we become.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think Lin Chingyi, while clearly fascinated by Eckhoff's work, he doesn't let him off the hook for these potentially problematic implications.
So as with any good deep dive, it feels like we're left with more questions than answers. But it sounds like Antigone's Sisters is one of those books that will really make you think and maybe even challenge some of your own assumptions about love.
Absolutely. It's a dense read, full of symbolism, metaphors. But I think ultimately it asks a very simple yet profound question, which is how can we as individuals tap into this radical, selfless love in a world that so clearly, so desperately needs it?
And that's something for all of us to consider, regardless of our individual beliefs, our backgrounds. So thank you for diving into this really fascinating review with us, and until next time.